Chapter 14. The Cursed Tablet. For days, the researchers checked their archives from head to toe, searching for anything they could find on the Dark Curse. Still recovering from the attack, they closed at the request of their headmaster, Marcel Alvaro, who also ordered researchers from all over the world to stay off the streets pending further notice. Kenneth did the best he could, but it wasn't good enough. After Celine left with Mr. Austin, he contacted the president of the West Division, Kurt Lusier, who immediately took over all operations. He knew of Mr. Austin's previous plans to have Kenneth relieved of his command, but with Joanne's death, Mr. Lusier decided to hold off. Kenneth still wasn't allowed to go back to Minneapolis, not yet anyway. However, Kenneth found himself promoted as temporary president of the Midwest Division and in charge of finding the pieces of the Dark Curse, a promotion that Kenneth decided to use to his advantage. It took only a day for a researcher to find an old metal box, scarred by fire that once contained the piece of the Dark Curse. The now empty box that once held and protected the piece from decay proved to be no use. By the end of the day, they were no closer to finding what Celine wanted. Kenneth sat in his office, staring at his phone. In a few hours it had ring, and he would have to explain to the presidents of the American divisions, and possibly the headmaster himself, how he failed in the simplest task of searching their archives. He was sure that Mr. Austin was a dead man, but when another researcher, a young woman in her early 20s, handed an old piece of paper to him, Kenneth realized that the search wasn't over. His phone rang, and Kenneth, flabbergasted at the piece of paper, didn't hear it at first. It was an inventory list dated years ago with the name B. Tiernan written in cursive writing next to the inventory number 38006, the Curse Tablet. Kenneth flipped the paper again, and it was another inventory list dated a few years after. This time there was no mention of inventory number 38006. "Sir, are you going to answer the phone?" the female researcher asked. Kenneth nodded. "Have you told anyone about this?"
"No. I brought it here as soon as I found it."
"Good. This isn't something to go around bragging about. You need to remain tight-lipped about this," he ordered. "Thank you." The female researcher nodded and left the office, closing the door behind her. The phone continued to ring, and finally Kenneth picked it up. "This is Kenneth speaking. Have you found it?" The voice on the other end was deep and to the point. Kenneth stared at the inventory list. He wanted to tell them his findings, but something stalled him. He wondered what the Brotherhood would do if he told them that Nathan's father, Butch Tiernan, was the last name written on the inventory list. Would they go after Nathan? The thought pleased Kenneth for a moment, but it still wasn't enough for the Brotherhood to lose track of getting Mr. Austin back, safe and sound, while Kenneth didn't want Mr. Austin to come back at all. They wouldn't allow someone as important as him to meet his demise at the hands of Demon. It was possible that the headmaster would reopen their partnership that they had cut off years ago with the Dorvo Coven of Vampires. "We have a slight problem," Kenneth replied. His response was followed by seconds of silence and deep breathing. It was Kenneth's first time speaking to the headmaster. Mr. Alvaro's position was what researchers strived for, to be the most important individual in the entire organization. Kenneth knew he had to be cautious. Mr. Alvaro wasn't any ordinary researcher he could fool or lie to. Just like the Austin family, the Alvaro family had a history with the Brotherhood. With Mr. Austin not standing in his way of speaking to the higher authority in the organization, Kenneth saw this as his chance to move up in rank. "Problem?" Mr. Alvaro's voice hung in the wind. Kenneth swallowed. "We located where the piece was kept, but the metal container was empty." He waited patiently, thinking that Mr. Alvaro would raise his voice, calling him and the others imbeciles or something along that line, for not being able to locate a simple piece of stone. He also waited to be blamed for allowing Celine to walk in and take Mr. Austin without so much as a fight. Instead, Mr. Alvaro replied calmly,
We must prepare for the worst.
I understand, sir. This attack on our headquarters will not go unpunished.
You do understand the complications of what's to come, Mr. Dearhorn?
Yes, I do, Kenneth replied. Sir, I understand that I'm to remain here, but I can do more good back where I'm needed, with my chapter in Minneapolis.
Mr. Austin requested that you remain in San Diego, and I agree.
Yes. But what's occurring in Minneapolis is directly related to what's happening here, Kenneth replied. Plus, Celine made it clear that I was the one to bring her the piece when I found it.
A moment of silence from Mr. Alvaro followed Kenneth's explanation. He gritted his teeth, and he felt the corner of his lips curl into a half smile. He knew the headmaster rethought Mr. Austin's orders. If he allowed Kenneth to leave, it would give him enough room to do what he felt needed to be done. He'd track down Nathan, find out where his father had hidden the piece, and take it. He wanted to release the Pure Ones, but not to save Demon. He wanted to release them to kill them, ending the Demon problem once and for all.
We will handle Celine, Mr. Alvaro replied.
Sir, with all due respect, you didn't see what she did to Mr. Austin.
I did. I want to be there when we kill her and...
Kill her?
Kenneth paused.
Yes, sir, that is what we have to do.
And how do you think we should kill her, Kenneth?
He heard rustling papers in the background and the sound of an office chair squeaking in movement.
Sir, maybe it's time that we set aside our differences with the Dorvo Coven.
That is not an option. I just assume that this type of problem requires those who are just as strong as Demon. We need to regain our foothold in the city again, and to strike fear in ancients as old as Lucius. To do this, we need their help.
Your assumption is understandable, Mr. Alvaro replied, and your request to go back to your chapter is respected, but we no longer need the help from those vampires. We've learned that lesson long ago.
Sir, at least send me back to Minneapolis.
I promise you. Kenneth's voice dropped in a low whisper. I'll personally handle this Demon problem. All I need is the right tools and support from you and the organization. Things are a bit messy now, and I'm sorry to say, sir, but Mr. Austin is partially to blame.
Mr. Austin?
Yes. He made a deal with Celine to free Lucius from limbo in exchange to reopen the chapter in Minneapolis.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, I'm 100% sure, sir. Kenneth's lips pulled back into a mischievous smile as he fumbled a pen between his fingertips. I believe he was in contact with Nathan Tiernan, ex-member of the Brotherhood.
Nathan did call our office earlier, warning us about this attack.
Perfect. I will discuss your return to the Minneapolis chapter with the remaining presidents, Mr. Alvaro replied. I do agree, we still need a strong presence in Minneapolis. That means you.
Kenneth nodded.
Step one complete.
Now he had to make sure Mr. Austin would never come back to the Brotherhood. He would find the piece of the Dark Curse and he wouldn't hand it over to Celine. In return, she'd kill Mr. Austin, and with his martyred death, the Brotherhood would retaliate.
I can do that, Kenneth replied. All I need is the opportunity.
He licked his lips. Celine is going to kill Mr. Austin, regardless if we had the piece to give her.
You need to track it down immediately, Mr. Dearhorn.
I think I know where it might be.
Kenneth stared at the inventory list.
I have to go to Minneapolis to find it.
When you arrive in Minneapolis, we'll give you further instructions. Until then, we will assign you as many mercenaries as you need to accomplish the task.
And what about the Dorvo Coven?
A long pause on the other end interrupted their conversation. Finally, Mr. Alvaro spoke up.
I'll bring that up to the other presidents, but for now, stay in touch.
Thank you, sir, thank you.
Kenneth smiled to himself.
I promise you, you will not be disappointed.
Nathan felt the rough edges of the brown paper slip through his fingers. The book he held in his palm was old, dating before the time of his own father. But it was filled with valuable information, thought long lost among the researchers of the Brotherhood. The archaic writing revealed words strung together in a cursive nightmare. He saw a name, barely legible, written on the inside parchment cover. The book exuded a smell of saturated paper. Nathan tolerated the annoying smell. He had no other choice but to read up on the dark curse if he wanted to help Kira. What he read so far boggled his mind, yet piqued his interest at the same time. The book revealed the story behind the Pure Ones, the very first demon to exist, and those they sired who avoided being placed into limbo along with them. The Dark Curse was just one among the many writings explaining the origins of the demon. But the tablet existing in two pieces proved difficult to find. If anyone managed to put them together, it would spell disaster for all demon, new and old. A knock on the door interrupted his thoughts, and he turned to watch Aiden and Kira walk through the door, cradling a stack of weathered books. Aiden placed the books on the coffee table. "These should tell you a little more about the curse." Nathan nodded. He hoped that this stack contained what he needed regarding his father as well. His mind still raged through scenarios, different times in his youth and his young adulthood, when his father studied and researched demon religiously. Still, he believed that being back in his manor was the best way to find out the secrets his father kept from him. "I hope you're well today," Kira slowly said. Nathan smiled. She looked more beautiful than ever, wearing a sleek, long black dress with a short jacket to match. She walked toward the couch and sat down slowly. "Have you heard anything?" Nathan asked. Kira nodded. "Yes." She looked to Aiden, who blinked rapidly. "Celine attacked the Brotherhood in San Diego." "The headquarters?" Catching his wild thoughts, Kira replied immediately. "She kidnapped Samuel Austin. I believe he's the president of the Midwest Division, is he not?" Confounded, Nathan stood up from his seat. He couldn't believe what Kira had told him. He warned the Brotherhood, like she suggested. He couldn't understand why they didn't listen. He also knew the Brotherhood better than any man. "You must find the location of the other piece before Celine realizes that they don't have it," Kira added. "The Brotherhood will retaliate." Nathan rubbed his bottom lip with his fingers in thought. "And when they do, it won't be good for anyone. That's why I think that I was wrong to keep you here. You need to go back to Minneapolis. You need to find the other piece immediately," Kira said. The only thought rummaging through Nathan's mind at the moment was Veronica, and if she knew about her father. "Yes, I must get back." "But you won't be going alone," Kira said. "It's too dangerous for you." Nathan stared at her. "Are you coming with me?" "I wish that I could, but being in my presence only puts you in more danger." Her eyes moved to Aiden. "But I will make sure that you will not be alone."
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/Isayan Morrison.